It's our favourite time of the year, and this holiday season we're celebrating Christ at the centre of it all with Christmas at Empower.
Awesome. Well, good morning, Empower Church, and a big welcome to you all today. It is so good to be gathered together in the house of God as a family of faith on this wonderful Christmas season. I am very honoured and very excited to be able to share with us all this morning the next installment of our Christmas at Empower series. But before we get there, to kick things off, to have a bit of fun, have a bit of a laugh, hopefully, I would like to present to you some deeply researched, highly credible, highly interesting Christmas facts. Are we ready? Come on. Fact number one, true story, a little bit gross. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, we all know him, right? Most likely has a red nose due to a parasitic infection in his respiratory system. Yeah. According to Roger Highfield, who we would all know as the author of the fantastic book, The Physics of Christmas, From the Aerodynamics of Reindeer to the Thermodynamics of Turkey, he states that Rudolph's red nose is due to a parasite. But don't be too concerned for the little guy, because it's a symbiotic relationship, and after all, it leads Santa's reindeer team through the winter's nights. Fact number two, in the Netherlands, Sinterklaas, who is of course the Dutch version of Santa, right, arrives not from the North Pole, but from Spain. And instead of hard-working Christmas elves assisting him in his Christmas work, Sinterklaas is supported by a group of boys and girls who are responsible for stealing children who have been misbehaving and taking them back to Spain, which according to the Dutch is the worst kind of punishment. So HQ, I hope you've been good this year. Otherwise, watch out for Sinterklaas. Fact number three, and the final fact, I promise I'll stop after this. Tinsel divides a crowd, right? Invented in Germany in 1610 and was originally made of real silver. It also has a bit of a controversial history, once banned by the US government, but for good reason, as it was believed that it contained lead and contributed to lead poisoning. So there we go, Christmas facts. I'm sure you will throw those out at your next Christmas party when there's a lull in the conversation. When you need them, they're there for you. There we go. Thankfully, there's no parasite-infested reindeer in Australia, Dutch Santas trying to steal children, or lead poisoning-inducing tinsel. Okay, there we go. So 2 weeks ago, we began our Christmas at Empower series, looking at the four Advent themes of Jesus' life and ministry and the Christmas season, those being hope, peace, joy, and love. And we said that as we explore these themes that exist in the original Nativity story, we can take encouragement that our God is unchanging. And if that's who he was then he's more than able to do the same thing in our lives today, bringing more hope, more peace, more love, and as is our theme for today, joy, or more accurately, Jesus, our joy. Life is filled with many joyful experiences. We experience joy when we spend time with our family and friends, when we receive good news, when we're driving home from work and decide to stop at 7-Eleven to pick up a Krispy Kreme donut. Anyone else? Come on, help a brother out. When babies are born, when sports teams win, when people are joined in marriage, when the holiday seasons roll around, and when you remember that Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, is only 4 days away. Come on now. From the big to the small, life is filled with joy. And as good and as joy-giving as all of these things are, they're perhaps more closely related to happiness than the true joy that the Bible describes. Christmas and the Nativity story, however, remind us that the only true and lasting source of joy is that being found in the joy of Jesus. You see, the story of the birth of Christ begins the story of the world finally finding fullness of joy in God. Luke chapter 2 details for us the events surrounding the birth of Christ. Luke recounts in his gospel the calling for a census of the entire Roman world, where every person was required to travel to their own town, their place of birth, to register. And caught up in this census and travel, we find Joseph and his very pregnant, soon-to-be wife, Mary. Picking up in verse 4, it says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. As a full-grown man, that is one time in life, it is okay to be completely and utterly terrified. But the ever-reassuring angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" The first thing that I'd like to talk about today is that joy is sent. It's no secret that we live in an age filled with media. Everywhere we look, we see billboards, we see TVs, iPhones, tablets, the works. And more often than not, these things are overrun with advertisement, showing off the latest and greatest stuff, advertising and promising that it's the latest tech or the overseas holiday or the new car, the new gear, the upgrade on the house is what we need to be happy. Or maybe it's the social media influencer that you follow, showing the highlight reel of their life, their new wardrobe, their cafe dining experience, or picture-perfect getaway that is the recipe for joy. But as the scriptures tell us, true joy is not found in possessions, favorable circumstances, or even in new experiences. Rather, true joy is something that was sent. In verse 11, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." True joy was sent into the world when God sent his son Jesus into the world. Jesus is and should be the foundation and the source of our joy. Psalm 16:11. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is good news today, and I don't know about you, but it takes the pressure off, doesn't it? It means that I don't need to have it all to be happy, that my joy is not dependent on possessions or favorable circumstances or even new experiences. What a relief it is that joy is not just a character trait of a select few, something that some of us are born with and some of us are born without. Instead, fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore are found in God. Amen. And now I want to clarify that God's not anti-possessions. He's not anti-new or fun experiences like holidays or anti-leisure or joy-giving circumstances in life. Not at all. God, by nature, is loving and generous and kind. And as believers, our families, our friends, our possessions, the family holiday, leisure time, employment, all of those things are gifts from God, amen, that are to be received with thanksgiving. James 1:7 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." The problem comes, though, when secondary sources of joy in our life become the primary sources, and the things that are meant to be supplementary become our main supply. When this happens, we can place unrealistic expectations on those things. Expectations they are incapable of meeting. And the end result of this is usually disappointment, right? If we find ourselves in this situation, the remedy is simple. We need to let go of these things, allow them to be second, to return to their right place, and instead turn into God with open hands and open hearts, and receiving the joy that he freely and readily wants to give to us. And the good thing about doing that is that it allows us to steward and enjoy those secondary things for what they are without unrealistic expectations that could never be met. And instead, we receive fullness of joy from God, joy that is stable and changing. After all, God promises in his scriptures that never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. When God is the source of our joy, and in light of this scripture, we can find joy that is enduring. All right. For a few years now, I've been fascinated with endurance athletes. In particular, endurance runners. The feats that these people, these men and women, can accomplish are incredible. Notably, this year, American runner Zach Bitter, he broke the world record for the 100-mile run, completing the distance of 100 miles in 11 hours, 19 minutes, and 13 seconds. I think for us as Aussies, 100 miles sounds impressive, but really, we have no idea how far that is, right? Miles, what's that about? So, using the power of the internet, I did some maths for us. 100 miles is 160 kilometres. There we go. Or roughly the distance from the doors of Empower Church to Newcastle, all right, which according to Google Maps takes approximately 34 hours to walk. So over your holidays, if you have some spare time and feel like getting some fitness in, maybe there's a challenge for you. Our American friend, he ran it in just over 11 hours though. That is not bad, not bad at all. All right, the difference between happiness and joy is that joy endures. While happiness may come and go based on what's currently happening in our lives or who we're around or what we're doing, the joy that God gives is beyond all of those things, amen? It endures. John 15:11, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Forgive me for stating the obvious here, but life isn't always easy, all right? We face setbacks, we face hardships, we experience loss and hurt. Even the day-to-day and week-to-week routine can wear us down, all of which can send happiness running. See what I did there? Just a little running joke for us this morning. But even in the face of these things, our joy can remain because our joy is found in God. In recent times, talking as a family, I've been so encouraged to see members of our church model this spirit so diligently, facing setbacks, facing hardship, facing hurt, and choosing a spirit of joy and enduring through those things because of it. They've been a great example to so many of us in this season. I want to clarify this morning, I'm not talking about a forced or over-the-top joy or a joy that is dismissive of the other emotions we feel in life. To just ignore our emotions and put on a happy face and push through is to be insensitive of the very real hardships of life. And it really does us no good. It doesn't help us at all. The joy that I'm talking about, the joy that we can experience in God, is more like this. Rick Warren said, you may have heard this before, that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. That's good news, amen. And the determined choice to praise God in every situation. When we are in Christ and trusted in Him, this can be our reality. See, part of joy is the ability to rejoice. This means to cheer, to gladden, and to make merry. We see Christians in Scripture rejoice both in the bad times and the good times. When facing persecution and suffering for the gospel, and when reminded of the goodness of God in their lives. Looking at the use of this word rejoice in Scripture, we can be reminded of the many reasons that we as believers have to rejoice. As we've done this morning, we can rejoice because we have fellowship with one another, with other believers. We can rejoice in the presence of God and the hope that we have in Him, the confidence of salvation, and the promise of reward and eternity in heaven. That is reason to rejoice each and every day. When we are able to rejoice in and praise God, even in the hardships of life, we are able to experience His presence, His joy, and His strength to endure and overcome. Amen. Psalm 20, verse 5 says, "Shout for joy over your salvation." Psalm 5:11 says, "All who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy." And Nehemiah 8:10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Isaiah in the Old Testament, when he spoke concerning Jesus, his life and his ministry, said this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for captives, and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. If God was able to bring joy and his plan for salvation into the world through a stable and a manger, he is more than able to bring joy and strength to endure and overcome in the hardships and setbacks of our lives today. If areas of our life are looking more like a stable or more like a manger than we would hope, be encouraged that God is still working. He hasn't stopped, and as the scriptures remind us, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I just want to say the good news for us as Christians is that we're on the winning team. Amen. I think one of the greatest joys that we can experience in life is the joy of victory. When your sport team gets a great win or whatever it is, the joy of victory has to be one of the sweetest joys that we can experience in life, I reckon. And as Christians, we are always on the winning team. Amen. Whether we're not seeing the victory materialized around us just yet, know that it's on its way, and with it is coming sweet joy in Jesus' name. Amen. The joy God gives us is contagious. As already mentioned this morning, earlier this year, I got engaged to my now darling wife, Catherine. And soon after I proposed and thankfully got a yes in reply, we got to making some phone calls and letting our parents and siblings know the good news. However, I'm sure once we let Kate's mum know and then my mum know, we probably could have stopped the phone calls then. I don't think it's a stretch of the imagination to say that once those two knew, it was only a matter of minutes before the rest of the family and extended family and close friends and neighbours and acquaintances and the checkout operator at Coles also knew of our good news. When we receive good news, it's natural that we want to tell others. True? In Luke 2, the shepherds, after receiving this good news that would cause great joy, quickly go and tell others too. Luke 2, verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Let's go check it out." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. Joy is experienced when we receive good news. And the best news that we can ever receive is that of God's plan of salvation for all people through Jesus. On the cross, Jesus died to purchase the joy that was announced at his birth. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And through his death and resurrection, bought for us the forgiveness of sin, the removal of judgment, and the gift of an eternity in heaven with him. The greatest joy that we can know comes through experiencing God's great grace towards us, a joy that cannot be contained, a joy that is contagious, and a joy that has been spreading throughout the world ever since. As the shepherds spread the good news at Christ's birth, so did his disciples after his resurrection and ascension to heaven. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." They worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. That joy of the good news of the gospel has been sent into the world and continues to this very day. Through partnership of God the Holy Spirit and the believer, this good news message has been faithfully preached ever since. It's not something that we are left to do alone, but rather we do clothed with power from on high, hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. After all, he is the one who produces that sweet fruit of joy in our lives. I pray that we would be encouraged, not just in this Christmas season, but in all seasons, that we too are carriers of this good news. This good news that causes great joy. Be encouraged that as you're finishing off the work in you with colleagues, as you're spending time with family at Christmas events, that we are able to bring to them good news of great joy, purely and simply that which we have witnessed and that which we have experienced. Not something that is a burden or obligation, but that which is the natural desire that arises as we delight in God and allow ourselves to be full of the Holy Spirit. Despite what we see in the world around us, we must remind ourselves that the world needs true joy. Amen. The joy that the world offers is not enough to truly satisfy and definitely not enough to save. The message of Jesus that we carry, though, most certainly has the power to do both. This morning, be encouraged that fullness of joy has been sent into the world through the person of Jesus Christ. This joy is on offer for us to receive today, whether for the first time or as a refreshment of the joy of our salvation, simply by turning to Him with open hands and hearts. God has available for us today a joy that endures, that brings strength to the people of God in hard times. And by His grace, it permits us to overcome. Only He is able to bestow upon us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And if we find ourselves in the situation where we're feeling joyed up today, be encouraged that you can be a source of good news and great joy to all people, not only in this Christmas season, but in every season. The world needs the good news message that you carry today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray in this place together, church.
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.